After the death of Freddie Gray 5 years ago, inequality and policing in Baltimore became a center of national discussion. But community and nonprofit leaders say serious progress in delivering systemic change has failed, thanks to turbulent city leadership and a lack of community inclusion. WYPR's Emily Sullivan reports.
5 years ago, Joe Jones showed up to work early, around 7:30 a.m. The director of the Center for Urban Families managed to work a few hours before it was time to head directly across the street to New Shiloh Baptist Church, where Freddie Gray's funeral was about to start.
And I could not believe the assemblage of international media that had descended on a community that wasn't there when I got to work.
After the funeral ended, Jones headed back to work, ready for another day of job training programs and working with fathers. But the day was anything but routine. Instead, he found his coworkers huddled in front of a television.
And I see the screen, and I see all this commotion going on. I see some remnants of fire, and I'm like, you know, but where is that? And my team turns around and said, that's here.
He was watching the beginning of the unrest, a weeks-long protest where pent-up anger and bitterness over gaping disparities rose to the surface. Black people living in disinvested communities on the West and East Sides have said for decades that there are two Baltimores, the haves and have-nots, defined by generations of racist redlining policies, poverty, and police brutality. In the wake of the unrest, something big happened. This reality became the center of a national discussion about structural inequality. The Department of Justice published a report that confirmed the police department used excessive force and acknowledged unjustified disparities in the rates of stops and arrests of Black men. There were promises from City Hall to deliver badly needed systemic change, like reducing violence. But years later, systemic inequalities remain, and violence has risen. And community leaders such as native Baltimorean Larice Edwards say those promises were broken.
Mayor turnover three times, several different police commissioners, and you asking for hope, and people haven't seen any change. Those things just continue to make the hole wider and deeper. And then it takes us back to that intergenerational piece where we have one generation after the other generation experiencing the same thing.
Edwards is the director of community practice and outreach at Morgan State University. She and Jones say the needle of progress has moved slowly. Edwards points to the partial demolition of what she calls the shoddily constructed Gilmore Homes, where Freddie Gray lived and where residents were lead poisoned. Center for Urban Families Director Joe Jones points to the greater inclusion of people of color in nonprofit positions throughout Baltimore. But, Edwards says, it's clear the system itself has yet to change.
We need to dismantle the decades of racial policies that have kept people confined in caste systems. People need to see consistent, compassionate, and authentic change.
Jones says that can't happen with turbulent leadership and without truly working with, instead of for, communities.
There's no higher priority than for me to find a way to sit down with community residents, to get to know them intimately and to understand their needs, right? And to have them as a part of the co-designer of services and interventions that are intended to impact them. We have got to get away from people just thinking they know what people need and making decisions about that, as opposed to saying, your voice is critically important. We want you at the table.
That inclusion and empathy is what's missing from philanthropic funding in Baltimore, says Donald Gresham.
How can you make it better if you're not talking to the people who are affected by it?
Gresham is the president of the Baltimore Redevelopment Action Coalition for Empowerment, a grassroots organization that advocates for affordable housing. He says both the city and private foundations need to take more cues from community leaders.
We know what the needs are. We're here at the ground level. We are seeing the pain and the how people feel and how they would love their lives to be better.
Now, Baltimore's most vulnerable residents are being hit the hardest by the coronavirus pandemic. Zip code data shows that 21215, a poor and predominantly Black area that includes Park Heights, has the most cases, while more affluent areas are less affected. Edwards calls it a crisis on top of a crisis.
Your most vulnerable people are the ones who are hit the worst and have the greatest impact. This is the question I have for people. Why do we have to have a pandemic? Why do we have to have an uproar?
Edwards questions why it takes a tragedy to shine a light on a problem that's always been there. I'm Emily Sullivan, reporting for 88.1 WIPR.